To help you be safe, Washington state law requires you to call 811 two full business days before you plan, for example, to dig, drill, plow, pull from, or pound anything into the ground. Be prepared to provide the operator with the correct address, cross street, and the description of your work. You must mark the dig area with white paint. The operator will inform you of the utilities notified of your impending excavation. Wait for all their marks. Be safe and dig with care.
Welcome to Let's Talk Spokane, where host Ryan McNeese seeks out and discusses the latest on a variety of hot local topics. Now, here's your host, Ryan McNeese.
Welcome to Let's Talk Spokane. I'm Ryan McNeese, and we're here in the studio with David Gregg, a development director and track and field coach at Parasport Spokane. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is great.
David, I had the opportunity to correspond with you recently about what you do, and it immediately struck me as I wanted to get you on the show as soon as possible. This, what you do, and I want you to go into detail and give us some backstory, but it's fascinating. It's so important here in our community, regionally and nationally. Tell me about Parasport, what you guys are doing.
Yeah, we're Parasport Spokane. We're a small not-for-profit. We utilize sport as a catalyst for life is kind of our tagline.
And it's a great tagline. I think in all areas of sport, there's so many analogies to productive living, and you guys have used that in a great way.
Yeah, we utilize character building through sport, and we're very intentional about what we do and the conversations we have, the actions we take, the coaches we utilize for our programming, board members. We're very mission-driven, and we provide sport and recreation opportunities for people with physical disabilities.
Well, and let's definitionally explain that. I think a lot of our listeners will have some familiarity with Special Olympics, but with Parasport and the Paralympics, describe and contrast the differences there.
So the Paralympic movement was created in the late 40s. To parallel the Olympic movement. So there are a lot of veterans coming back from the war with spinal cord injuries at that time, and they needed something to get them reengaged in society.
An outlet, if you will.
Yeah, so sport was the outlet.
Okay.
And they started multi-sport model, and so that's gone on to, you know, for years now, and now the Paralympic movement is one of the top three sporting movements in the world. We were in Rio last year at the Paralympic Games, and there were millions of spectators.
Were you there?
I was, actually.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Really?
We had three of our staff were selected as a team leadership with Team USA Track and Field.
And tell me, let's go back and look at, I believe it was founded here locally in 2013, correct. Right? And who spearheaded that?
So that was my wife. Her name's Teresa Skinner.
Okay.
She's the executive director of Parasport Spokane.
So okay.
We're firmly tied to this.
That's right.
Family. And
if you have complaints, you'll know where to go.
That's true.
It's a or direct compliments.
Pipeline. Yeah. We celebrate all the successes together, which is awesome.
That's fantastic.
And we go through all the frustrations together, which is also
so very starting grounding. In 2013, what was really the impetus for you? And what happened in 2013 that you said, and or your wife as well, that this is what we're going to start. We feel like our passion is this.
So Teresa started a program actually in 1996 with Team St. Luke's at that time.
Okay.
And ran that program up to 2012. They changed the focus of their program. So then there became a need for a youth-oriented program and more alignment with the Paralympic pathway. So that's where this program came from. We started at that time, there were right around 20 members, and we started with a small group, wheelchair basketball, track and field, and we started a strength and conditioning program. Then it started to snowball. Within a year, we had over 70 people participating, and now, you know, 2017, we've touched over 150 families. We're impacting a number of schools, school districts. We worked with the WIAA.
Absolutely.
We work, you know, just a myriad of things that we do, all for the benefit of people with physical disabilities, not to just be physically active, but to also build that skill set to be contributing members to society to be college graduates.
Well, in any organization or any business, you can only hope that you, if in fact you identify the need, you've identified that need, but do other people see that there's a need? And what's exciting about the Parasports story in Spokane is you identified a need, thought there was an opening, if you will, and people definitely have also identified that you were right, that this is a need that many people are seeing and continue to see. That's, I think, exciting. That doesn't always happen.
No, that's true. And we see it across the country. There's a variety of program offerings for people with physical disabilities. There's no, like, one model that works community to community. And the model we have happens to be quite successful in that we've got a good recruitment base. We have a decent retention rate. And we have not just opportunities for people to be recreational, to be physically active, to have a network in the community, but an avenue for high performance success and to wear the stars and stripes to
represent
Team
USA. Absolutely, which you were just saying in Rio.
Yeah.
Well, and let's maybe break that down a little bit, that a family and or an individual participant could have the opportunity. Well, I think you said as young as 16 months, I believe, up to maybe even 60 years old.
Yep.
So tell me the different levels of interaction. I think you just said it could be competitive or just recreational. But then you've also discussed being in Rio, which is the epitome of competitive and competing at the highest levels. How does one kind of decide how to interact with Parasport?
They kind of self-select. We believe in a long-term athlete development model. So we've got, as I said, a myriad of opportunities for people. As young as 16 months, we have our futures group that they come to wheelchair basketball. And, you know, we've got the younger kids off to the side participating with other either newcomers or younger athletes. And, you know, it's kind of skill-driven versus we're not forcing them into a model that is too advanced for them. But then we've got our junior athletes who are – they go to national championships. They're trying to seek college scholarships to play wheelchair basketball. So they're at a higher level. So they're a little more intense.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, we'll have those guys.
And if you want to be a part of that, great. If
you
don't, choose a different level of interaction.
Correct. And some people come out, they see our sports, they don't like them. That's fine.
Sure.
But we've exposed that family and that athlete to the Paralympic movement, to what is potentially there for their child.
Opportunities.
And there's two entry points for people with physical disabilities. You're either born with it or you acquire it.
Mm-hmm.
So for parents, you know, there's some massive tragic event that happens potentially. Now their child has a disability or their spouse or their sibling. And so they've got to look. The life is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we need to adapt to that differently,
correct.
Whether we accept it or not.
They're trying to define themselves, what they were before. You know, we've got one wheelchair racer who was a semi-pro golfer trying to get his PGA card.
Oh,
now he's doing wheelchair racing, right? So it's you get those things. But
then redirected his passion.
Right, yeah, and totally. And then once he found this outlet, he's gone. He's loving it.
Which is literally by definition, I think, what you guys are doing. It defines this organization that you got him back to a spot where he was motivated, directed, and passionate about something. Didn't matter what it was, but he had lost that passion.
Yeah, and you know, family man, and now his kids come with him. He does Bloomsday and goes and does marathons in Arizona, and you know, or conversely, you get those parents who now have a child who's born with a disability. And they potentially see that as a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck with this kid. You know, I've got to take care of their needs. But through some of the athletes that we have that have been through, or the parents that are in our programs that have been through this, that know that their child can have a college education, can be totally independent, can drive, can travel the world independently, it's very liberating.
And I think the irony is in many of those situations you're describing, I think what parents find is the absolute silver lining of what they may have thought was going to be the course of this relationship that turned into something much, much greater.
Right.
And you're providing that opportunity. That's really neat.
Yeah, and as in with able-bodied sport, if the parent – we don't want the parents to be the coaches because they do so much for these athletes already.
Right, off the court or off the track or what have you.
And so we see this as an opportunity for them to take a break, for them to not have to cater to the needs of their child, for them to release their child to the sport and see them thrive.
Right.
And then have their athlete share stories with them when they get home after they've traveled independently. We took a young man who's 7 years old this summer over to Seattle for a Twilight meet. And, you know, his...
7 years old?
7 years old, yeah. You know, he traveled independently with us. His mom drove over to watch the meet, and we interacted with them at the track meet. But then after, like, stories. It's pretty amazing. And
I've always said that's the exciting thing for any parent is when you're in the front seat looking, you know, you're driving and hearing the stories from the back seat. Right. That's where you wished you'd write all these stories down. I can only imagine that particular 7-year-old and what they're experiencing.
Luckily, with social media, with Instagram and Facebook, we're documenting that.
Yeah.
And we're trying our best to because the history's super rich. You know, we've got one athlete who she didn't speak to anybody in the program 6 to 8 months.
Hmm.
She's a 4-time world champion this year. Junior world champion. She's going as she's a freshman at CV, and to see her blossom,
it's powerful. Isn't it?
It's amazing.
Let's take a quick break on that note and come back and talk about more of these amazing stories about the transformations parasport is playing a part in. Thank you, David.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
In touch, online all the time. SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
Here's Rob Curley, editor of the Spokesman Review.
Living life is complicated. They should give you an instruction manual, but they don't. So every day I feel like I have to try to put together an instruction manual for how you would live in Eastern Washington. Sometimes that's big national news, sometimes it's local news, but sometimes it's just telling you where to get a good hamburger and why the Zag Zone really works this year.
Online, in print, the Spokesman Review. Subscribe to the experience.
When it comes to adding long-lasting color to your world, let Rada Paint give you a hand. It'll be a snap with Rada Paint's quality coatings, vast color choices, and plenty of painting supplies. Visit your local Spokane Rada Paint stores today. Or go online to RadaPaint.com. That's RadaPaint.com.
Rada Paint. Finish right.
If you need a sign, banner, or business cards for your business, who do you call? Hi, this is Kent Adams.
And Tom MacArthur from Business Talks. Kent and I call Instant Sign Factory for our signs, banners, business cards, and more.
Dave at Instant Sign Factory is our go-to guy for printing, and he always does excellent work for us.
Check them out online. They've got an all-new website, InstantSignFactory.com.
Tell them Kent and Tom from Business Talks sent you. Instant Sign Factory.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Spokane. I'm Ryan McNeese, and we're in the studio with David Gregg, Development Director and Track and Field Coach of Parasport Spokane. And right before we left, we were really getting into some of these just extremely powerful stories and how life-changing not only sports but parasports can be. And you'd indicated, David, that Spokane is one of the only cities in the country that has a women's wheelchair basketball team. Tell me a little bit more about that, because that, when you're talking about the only, that's significant.
Yeah, there might be a dozen teams this year.
Okay.
Now, we started our women's program 4 years ago, I guess.
But when you initiated.
Five females.
Yeah.
And last year, maybe the last 2 years, so it'll be 2 years ago, we went to the national championships, and we were the only team that did not have a Paralympian on their team.
Hmm.
And the majority of our females on that team were under 13 years of age. So we have a couple 20, you know, girls in their mid-20s, but it's this youth movement that
yeah, and why do you think in Spokane? Because I'm impressed by that, that Chicago doesn't even have that.
It's that commitment. We have competitive programs, but it's that commitment to growth and character. And we don't turn athletes away from our program. They may deselect themselves from the program. But the ones who keep coming back, the ones who commit to the experiences, they make friends.
Mm-hmm.
you probably grew up playing sports. Mm-hmm. Like the friends you make on the baseball field or on the hockey rink, you have those friends for life.
Yep, and by analogy, those stories have definitely matriculated into our life experiences for
sure.
Correct,
correct. And that's what we're creating. We're creating that culture, growth-focused. And when an athlete comes in, one of the first questions, how's school? Hmm. You know, where are you looking to go to college? It's not if, it's when.
It's when. What's your next step? What are you doing?
Exactly, yeah.
Is there a Hoop Fest? At Hoop Fest, is there a Paralympic or a para-sport aspect of Hoop Fest?
There's two wheelchair brackets. There's the junior bracket and the adult bracket. The junior is basically all of our athletes.
Okay.
And we have 3 or 4, maybe 5 teams in the adult brackets. We have the most we've had, I think, was 15 teams 1 year.
Okay, you feel like that's expanding as well?
It's growing. Yeah, it is. And that's another recruiting tool for mm-hmm. us, too. Everyone knows about Hoop Fest.
Well, that's what I was thinking, is that, you're walking around. There's so much just traffic in general, mm-hmm. walking from game to game, and you see that, wow, there's a parasport teams here. This is something that either my child or a neighbor's child can participate in.
Yep.
And let's face it, as a parent, you're wanting to do everything you can to give your kids those opportunities.
Exactly. We actually, Hoop Fest has been creative enough to open it up so we could have a sibling of an athlete play on that team.
Hmm.
Because they're not bound by NWBA rules.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. We've had siblings play. We've had friends play. It's just
I think Matt Santangelo and a whole host of other parties have done a fantastic job with that program.
Yeah, it's definitely a cornerstone of Spokane. Mm-hmm. It really is.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the psychology, I'm so impressed with what Parasport is doing, because I think the psychology of what these athletes – whether they're 5 years old, 15 years old, or 45 years old, what they have individually gone through, as you described at the beginning, whether they're born with some of these handicaps and challenges, or if it's something that happened, a particular circumstance, it's a crucial piece of their life and their social groups. I had the opportunity when I was about 36, I had Guillain-Barré, which is a paralyzing syndrome, nerve issue, and so I was paralyzed for several months, and I had spent significant time at St. Luke's. Mm-hmm. And so during that rehab process, I saw other individuals that were dealing with some of the challenges that you've described today. Yeah. And to have the outlets that you're describing, I think, is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, we think so, too.
Yeah. Where do you go from here? One thing I'd noticed looking at your material is from an engineering standpoint, this equipment mm-hmm. seems substantial, whether it be wheelchairs or otherwise. What about resources that are available to families and athletes for the equipment?
Right. So if you think you have an able-bodied child playing basketball, a pair of Jordans is $200 bucks, right?
Yeah.
Wheelchair basketball chair can be upwards of $2,500 for one chair, for one person.
And I'd imagine that Bloomsday chair is even on top of
that. Right. So the basic race chair is $1,800, but if you put carbon disc wheels on the back
to be more competitive,
that's another $2,500.
Hmm.
And then, so say we've within our track and field program, you've got the racing wheelchairs, so then they travel with a separate set of wheels, because airlines being what they are sometimes,
yep.
you don't want your $2,500 set of wheels to get crushed.
Heck no.
And then if you've got someone who's an amputee, that might be a $7,000 running leg or a $20,000 running leg if they're an above-the-knee amputee. Hmm. Insurance doesn't cover that. Or if it's someone with a vision impairment, they have to have a guide runner, someone who can help them, guide them around the track, help them in long jump or throw the shot put or discus. And now that person has to travel.
So exponentially, some of the expenses.
Right. It's very expensive. And luckily, there's a group called the Challenged Athletes Foundation based out of San Diego. And they have needs-based grants that we work with the families to apply for every year.
Can you just, for our listeners, say that name again and if they have a website?
It's Challenged Athletes Foundation.
Okay.
And it's challengedathletesfoundation.org.
Okay.
And we partner with them. We work closely with them in that our athletes apply for grants through CAF.
Okay.
And they they could get a racing chair or a basketball chair or support to travel to competitions, which is also something that a lot of grants don't pay for. So we, when we seek grants in the community, a lot of people do want to pay for equipment or, you know, basketballs or jerseys or those things. But the big cost for us, so for us to play, for our juniors, for example, to play in a basketball tournament, we have to go to Seattle or Portland.
To find the competition.
Or Phoenix.
Did you say Berkeley?
Berkeley, okay. California. That's, we're in the West Coast Conference. And Denver. The national championships is in Louisville, Kentucky every year. And so we're actually working.
Travel costs.
It is. We're working with St. Luke's because they have an adult adult team as well. And we're hosting an event in October this year at the Hub. So if people want to come and watch wheelchair basketball, super awesome experience. It'll motivate you. It'll move you. And it'll honestly, your jaw will drop to see how athletic some of these individuals
and
are.
And say that date again for at the
it's,
Hub.
It's at the Hub, and it's October 13th, 14th, 14th, 15th, that
right
weekend.
Right in there. Okay.
Right in that wheelhouse. Follow our website or
and your
our
website
Facebook.
Is parasportspokane.org.
Correct.
Parasportspokane.org. Mm-hmm. And you'd also indicated, and I've seen this, halftime. At the Gonzaga Bulldog basketball games. That's right. A great attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do the men's, we do the women's games. We've done games at Whitworth and Eastern as well, and our athletes just love it. That's often the most people they'll get to play in front of unless they go to Paralympic games. You know, that's why we're hoping to get people to come watch this tournament when it's here, because it's basketball, but you just use a wheelchair to play it. It's, and anybody can play wheelchair basketball. I play it recreationally.
Not necessarily well. I would say, I mean, that's a joke, but when I had my opportunity to be in a wheelchair, I tell you what, just trying to get down the hallway versus seeing what these athletes can, when they're spinning around with one arm and holding the ball against, it's impressive.
Very impressive. And, you know, Hoop Fest is a great example for you know, people, it's pure respect for basketball when they're standing there watching our athletes play.
Well, clearly at the outset of this, 2013, you're looking at you're in your fourth year and having a lot of success and momentum. Where do you see the next 3, 4, 5 years taking this program?
We're on the precipice right now, I think.
Yeah.
Because we're expanding. We're all volunteers. Our board, our staff that we have, our coaches, no one gets paid to do this.
This is all passion.
It's all passion. There's a lot of programs around the country that are doing less with people who are paid to do it. And the passion obviously oozes from this program.
Sure.
You know, we've got to look at how do we scale the program? What other opportunities do we have? Do we have an opportunity to become a regional hub for excellence for parasport?
Well, clearly you've started that. I mean, when you look at the, as you indicated with the statistics with women's wheelchair basketball and being one of the very few in the country, clearly you're setting the standard.
Right. And this summer in track and field, Team USA sent two teams abroad, one to the World Championships, one to Junior Worlds. We had two of the 50 athletes on World Championships team. We had 5 medals from those individuals. On the Junior Worlds team, of the 20 athletes that went, 6 went from Spokane. And achieve 20 medals.
Well, I'd imagine that of those 20 medals and the involvement in Rio and the other events, I'd imagine YouTube folks could take a look and see more videos of the athletes that you've sent to these competitions.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's lots on our Instagram feeds, on our Facebook feeds. And there's, it's super cool to see someone from Spokane.
Oh, on the national stage.
On the national, international stage, wearing the stars and stripes, representing the country, you know, doing us all proud, and it's sport.
Let's take a moment here, though, to, I want to make sure folks are aware, it is parasportspokane.org, but you also mentioned Instagram site. Mm-hmm. What other social media platforms could individuals follow Parasport Spokane?
We're most active on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
We're getting better at Twitter. I do the social media. It's tough. You know, a full-time job outside of that, as well as hauling our 2 trailers around the city, unpacking chairs, and all those things. But
always looking for more than 24 hours in one day.
Right. And our philosophy is we are content generators.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not sharing a lot of content from other people, but we're providing access to just show what our athletes are capable of and what they're doing that is – we blow people's minds. I like to say
absolutely.
That. And a lot of people will see one of our largest hits was on our Facebook page, a video of two of our youngest athletes pushing their basketball chairs, doing a cone weave drill. And one was four, the other one six. And there was, you know, thousands of hits. There was a casino in Argentina that liked the video. So, like, just those
power
kinds
of social
media. You never know what's going to catch.
But if that content is relevant, and clearly seeing a four-year-old maneuvering through those cones, that's relevant.
Exactly.
David, I am so excited that we were able to come in contact and have you come on the show. I personally look forward to watching the progression of this organization. It is relevant and it is prospering here in Spokane. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you. I look forward to coming back.
Thanks.
All right.
Let's Talk Spokane is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask us a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Thanks for listening.
Last year alone, Avista customers saved over 53 million kilowatt hours of energy. How? By caulking their windows, programming their thermostats, replacing their incandescent light bulbs with LEDs. Simple things, really. But the energy they saved was enough to power more than 4,000 homes for an entire year. Way to save, everyone. Way to save. Find your way to save at avistautilities.com.